Florida's primary elections are set for next Tuesday, and while many candidates are busy with media interviews and public debates, an increasing number of political hopefuls are declining to interact with the traditional media or face their opponents in public forums. Some are refusing interview requests and snubbing the customary vetting by newspaper editorial boards. And in some cases, the political is getting personal.
Adam, how are you? Good to see you. Now, some of us know that Adam is really the communications director for Nelson's campaign, but we welcome you here anyways. Let's give him a round of applause.
That's Republican Congressman Connie Mack IV of Fort Myers lashing out at Tampa Bay Times political editor Adam Smith at a recent campaign event. Mack is facing multiple challengers in the GOP race for incumbent Democratic Senator Bill Nelson's seat. The Times has endorsed his major opponent, former U.S. Representative Dave Weldon of Indy Atlantic, and even though he faces only token opposition in the Democratic primary, the Times editorial board also endorsed Bill Nelson. I spoke with Adam Smith about the reluctance of some candidates to engage with the media. Thanks for joining us today, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Connie Mack is not the only politician who has been avoiding the traditional media recently. Governor Rick Scott also refused reporters' requests and skipped editorial board interviews during his campaign for governor. Do you think this works as a political strategy for these candidates, Adam?
Well, I would say I am a little bit confused about Connie Mack's strategy because it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, and a lot of Republicans are scratching their heads about it, too. But I think you are seeing this trend where candidates, especially if they're well known, they're seen as the front runners, and in the case of Rick Scott, have $70 million of their own money to spend, feel that they do not need to go through the traditional processes like talking to editorial boards. Rick Scott did it. It obviously worked. He barely won. But you know, then you govern, and he's realized that he's not very popular, and he's realized that he needs to start changing his image. So you've seen him at least start to visit editorial boards.
Well, from what you're seeing, Adam, covering politics in Florida, does this fairly recent phenomenon of politicians avoiding the media and reporters who might dare to ask them tough questions, does it seem to work? Is it a viable strategy for the candidates?
You know, I don't necessarily think it's the smartest move. If you have $70 million, you certainly don't need the editorial boards, and the editorial board endorsements really don't mean a whole lot when it comes to the very top of the ticket, governor or president. I think a lot of people don't rely on the editorial endorsements for that. But, you know, I know I spent some time in Jacksonville recently talking to folks where a Democrat won that mayor's race to a lot of people's shock. And one of the things I heard from a lot of Republicans is that the Republican nominee in that case turned off a lot of longtime Jacksonville residents because he had that same strategy. He really wouldn't debate. He wouldn't do media interviews. And he just sort of looked arrogant and out of touch. And so he tried to emulate the Rick Scott strategy, and it apparently backfired. But I think it's a strategy where particularly front runners think, you know, if they're comfortable with a lead, why risk it by having a debate with somebody? I mean, we're seeing it with Connie Mack. Thanks to his name recognition, he's way in the lead, but he's got a very credible opponent, Dave Weldon, former congressman, a military veteran, an MD. You certainly can't make the case that it's not worth debating Weldon because he's a whack job. He's got a very impressive resume, but what's the gain for Mack? He thinks there's just mostly risk.
And of course, we should mention that it's not only Republican candidates that seem to be going in this direction. Here in Central Florida, for example, in a race that I've been covering, political newcomer Victoria Siplin is a Democratic candidate in a primary race for a Senate district that covers much of the same district now represented by her husband, Democratic Senator Gary Siplin. He's leaving due to term limits. She, too, is avoiding the traditional media and opting instead to engage in social media quite a bit and just basically knock on doors throughout the district. Do you think that kind of direct approach is an effective political strategy?
You know, a lot of times it depends on the district. The Siplins are very well known. That's a big name in that district. I think Geraldine Thompson also is a very credible candidate. But, you know, Gary Siplin has had a lot of controversies. So he's probably feels sort of bitten by the media on more than several occasions. And so that may be district specific. You know, you do go to other areas of the state where there are more competitive districts, and, you know, it's the opposite, that some of the candidates are actually clamoring and begging for attention because they want to get their messages out.
Now, what do you think are the broader ramifications, in your view, when the candidates no longer feel that they need to talk to us? They don't need to talk to the traditional media to reach voters, and instead feel that they can go directly to the voters at rallies and town hall meetings, or perhaps through social media and direct contact?
Well, I don't really necessarily believe that this is going to be a long-term trend, because I think it can really backfire on a lot of candidates if they won't engage whatsoever, and voters aren't stupid, they start to see that. But, you know, if you have enough money, you can run a TV campaign or a direct mail campaign and reach a lot of people and never have to worry about being off your scripted message.